Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. And I want to deal with a subject tonight that I trust, well, I certainly believe that it's something that all of us could be challenged by. I think all of us could make application tonight if we're honest before the Lord now. We have to be honest before the Lord, but I think if we're honest before the Lord, we could make a application of what we'll hear tonight. I want to talk tonight about the battle of the mind, or the battle of our thought life, and how important it is for us to be mindful of our thought life and our mind being under the control of the Lord. And so I have two thoughts that I want to give you tonight, and several passages of Scripture that I want to look up. And I want to start with Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Again, just using this as a springboard into the thought that I wanted to give you tonight. But Proverbs chapter 23, and let's notice what the Bible says in verse number 7 of Proverbs chapter 23. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The thought of a man and what he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to go to a couple other passages of Scripture again that I think will be an encouragement to you tonight. But I wanted to talk tonight about how that Satan attacks us when it comes to our thought lives. Now, Satan, I think you would agree with this, that Satan attacks us in many, many ways. In many ways, we are under the attack of Satan. But he brings a big attack on our thought lives. And so we wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight in the battle of our mind or our thought life. Satan knows that what we think makes us what we really are. As a matter of fact, I think that Bible verse very clearly says that, doesn't it? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Satan understands that what we are thinking on makes us what we are. He knows that our thoughts ultimately lead to our actions, don't they? What we are thinking about leads to our actions. But can I say, I want to give you two thoughts tonight. And right before I give you thought number one, I want to say a statement tonight that I want you to really consider, especially as we're using this as the introduction into what we're going to give you tonight. We mentioned that Satan attacks us in many ways. But what I want us to understand tonight, if we're going to make application of this tonight, we have to understand this. What I want us to understand is that if we have a problem with our thought life, or if we have a problem with what's taking place in our minds, we cannot blame it on Satan. So yes, Satan attacks us. Satan is a real enemy, isn't he? He is our adversary. But we cannot blame our thought life problem or our problem of the sins of the mind. We cannot blame them on Satan. So the statement that I want to give you at the very start tonight is this: we are responsible personally now for what we allow into our minds. Again, it's not that we could say, well, Satan, he just attacks me. Satan's my enemy. Satan's my adversary. And yes, he does. But we still, as God's child, if we're a Christian in here tonight now, we are responsible for what we allow into our minds. And so I want to give you two thoughts tonight. The first one is this: I want to talk about the condition of the mind, and then I want to talk to you tonight about how we can control our mind. So the control of the mind. So number one, the condition of the mind, and then number two, the control of the mind. Number one, I want us to look at the condition of our mind. Would you look with me to the book of Galatians? Galatians chapter number 5, and I want us to read a few verses there in Galatians chapter 5. And I want to start with Galatians chapter 5, and I'll say a statement that will lead us into what we're going to learn from Galatians chapter number 5. We're either going to allow our mind to pull us towards things that are evil, or we allow our thought life and what is in our mind to pull us towards things that are good and towards things that are right. It's going to be one way or the other. We're going to either allow our thoughts and our mind to pull us towards things that are evil, things that are wrong, or we're going to allow our thoughts and our mind to steer us, to pull us, to guide us towards things that are right, towards things that are holy. And so those are the two different conditions of the mind that I want to look at tonight. A mind that is pulled towards things that are evil and wrong, and then a mind that is pulled towards things that are right, towards things that are holy, and towards things that are godly. And I think we see both of those examples in the Word of God. And that's what's wonderful. We can go to the Word of God and we can see an example of both. So the first thought that I want to give you from Galatians chapter 5 is that Paul understood, Paul's the one that wrote this book to the churches in the region of Galatia. And he writes this book, and Paul's writing here in Galatians chapter 5 helps us to understand that he knew that our mind was capable of evil thoughts. Paul understood, as he writes to the churches in the region of Galatia, he understood that our mind is capable of being on evil thoughts. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter number 5. He gives two different lists in Galatians 5. The one list that he gives is a very important list. It's a very good list. It's a list that we would do well to make application in our lives with. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Those 9 character traits that God desires that we have. But then before that list is given, Paul gives a list of what he refers to as the works of the flesh. So we got the fruit of the Spirit, and then we got the works of the flesh. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse number 17. And again, as we read these verses, would you keep this thought in mind? That Paul knew that our mind was capable of evil thoughts. Look at what he says in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now we're going to come back to verse number 17 in just a moment, so be mindful of what Paul said there. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So the works of the flesh can be certainly made known, and this is the list that Paul gives as the works of the flesh. He says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and then notice he says, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are the works of the flesh, which would be character traits or the qualities that would be true of a person that is not saved, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It says these are the character traits that somebody would have that's not to inherit the kingdom of God. And so he gives the works of the flesh there. It's a very long list of sins. Did you notice we read through a very lengthy list of sins there when we talked about the works of the flesh? And you'll notice as we're going through there that many of those sins are sins that we could say are sins of the mind. Perhaps as we went through that list, perhaps our mind would have gone to the possibility of having lustful thoughts in that list. The idea that's mentioned in that list several times towards the beginning of that list in verse number 19 of inappropriate sexual thoughts that we could perhaps have. And then sins of the mind where we think of the thoughts of jealousy and the thoughts of envy and the thoughts of pride, all those being sins of the mind that we could battle with or that we could struggle with. So Paul's saying, I know it is possible for the mind to be capable of evil thoughts. And so can I have you consider tonight that the greatest area of sin in a believer's life is not usually areas of action, but instead it's areas of the thought life. It's not so much at times the actions that Christians will perform as far as what they do, but it's the sins of the mind that we struggle with. And if we ever doubted the truth of that statement, all we have to do is go back to verse number 17. Because verse number 17 makes the statement that we just made. The Bible says this is something that we can battle with, something that we can struggle with, the difference between the flesh and the spirit. So notice what he says in verse number 17. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Oh, there's a war that's going on. Because why? Because we are contending with the old man, aren't we? We got saved, but our flesh didn't, did it? And so because the flesh didn't get saved, we've still got that old flesh, that old sinful nature, that old man that wars against the spirit. And all of us can have trouble with thoughts that are undesirable. It's not that we desire to have those thoughts, but they're undesirable thoughts because of the flesh that we war and the flesh that we battle against. So notice what it says again, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And now notice, these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It's not that Paul is saying it's never possible to do the thing that we know we should do. He is saying, though, there is a battle that's taking place, though, right? There is a war that's happening between the flesh and the spirit, and the things that we know we should do. Paul's even stated that another way in Scripture, didn't he? Those are the things that we find trouble doing. And the things that we know we ought to stay away from, those are the things that we find most easy to do in our lives. And so the illustration is simply this: because of the battle between the flesh and the spirit, I don't think, when we think especially what Paul is saying to us here in the book of Galatians, Paul is knowing that our mind is capable of evil thoughts. I don't know that even the greatest Christian that's sitting in here tonight would volunteer to be the one to say, hey, you just drop a big screen down in front of the whole entire congregation and you just show everything that's been on my mind lately. I don't think anyone would volunteer for that because of the battle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. We are all capable of having a mind that is straying towards evil thoughts. And so the battle that we're facing, here's what I want us to do. I want us to look at Mark chapter 7, if you would. And I want us to notice that the real struggle that we face with our thoughts really comes from the struggle of the heart, doesn't it? The struggle with the thoughts comes because of the struggle that we have with our heart. Notice what the Bible says in Mark chapter 7. Jesus is speaking here, and he says in verse number 20 of Mark chapter 7, and he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. So he said it already in the passage that leads up to this one. It's not about what goes in, but he said it's about what comes out that defiles a man. Now, it is important, though, that we are careful with what we do allow to come in. A statement that I've said for many, many, many years, especially in the years that I've taught our teenagers, is that what we allow to come into our eyes and what we allow to come into our ears does affect our heart, and it does affect our mind. It affects our thoughts. And then when we allow it to come in and it affects us on the inside, then it eventually comes out in our words and our actions and our attitudes. So that's what Jesus is saying here. What you allow to come in ultimately affects, and it comes out. So notice what he says in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye. He says blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Now, notice verse 23. He reiterates what he has already said in verse 23. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we could say it this way, as Jesus gives to us Mark those verses in Mark chapter number 7, that the real struggle of the thoughts or the mind is coming from the struggle that we have from our hearts. So really, the thought life is an accurate picture then of where we stand spiritually, isn't it? If we would consider what comes from the heart, the thought life is an accurate picture of how we're standing before the Lord spiritually. Are we where we should be spiritually when it comes to our mind and our thoughts and what's taking place in the heart? Because eventually that does come out in our actions and our words and our attitudes. So we saw number one, when it comes to the condition of the mind, we saw that Paul knew that our minds are capable of evil thoughts. It is possible for us to have evil thoughts. But remember we said this, it is possible though to keep our mind and our thoughts on things that are good and things that are godly and things that are right and things that are pure. So the second statement that I want to make to you about Paul comes from the book of Philippians, another book that he wrote. So if you would take a moment to turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we're actually going to be in another chapter in Philippians in just a moment. So find your place there to Philippians, because it's going to be very important for you to recognize these verses. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, this is another book that Paul wrote. He wrote it to the church of Philippi. Again, he's writing this while he's imprisoned, and he's writing this to the church of Philippi. And here's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. He knew that our mind must be disciplined. So he said, number one, he knew that it was capable of evil thoughts. But then number two, he encourages the church of Philippi, I also have an understanding that our mind, the mind of a Christian, must be disciplined. And he says that in Philippians chapter 2. He says in Philippians 2 down at verse number 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying our mind needs to be disciplined. Our mind needs to be thinking on things that are good and thinking on things that are wholesome. So we must, here's what Paul's encouraging us. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's encouraging us to cultivate in our lives spiritual thinking. Cultivate spiritual thinking. Let's be like-minded with Christ. Let's cultivate in our lives spiritual thinking. And so if you would, turn to Philippians chapter number 4, because we're going to answer how to do that. How do you do that? How do you cultivate spiritual thinking in your life? Well, he gives us the answer. He tells us what we need to be thinking on. Philippians chapter 4, and look down if you would at verse number 8. Now, here's something I want us to consider when we read Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. I want us to consider this. Okay, so let's put all this together in our minds. Let's remember what Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 said. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're to be like-minded with Jesus Christ. We're to cultivate spiritual thinking in our life. Let's have a mind like Christ would have. Well, if we're going to do that, then the Bible tells us, again, through Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, that there's a list of things that we should be thinking on. Well, while we go through this list, would you consider this one thought about this list? Would you consider that while we go through this list of things that we ought to be thinking on, that we could say that this list here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8 would be a perfect biography of the life of Jesus Christ? If we want to have a mind of Christ, if we want to have the mind of Christ, if we want to be like-minded with Jesus Christ, you just apply Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8 to your life, because it's a perfect biography of what the mind of Christ would be like. This is like speaking of what Christ's mind would be. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8 and notice what it says. It gives us a list of things that we ought to be thinking on. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Number one, we need to be thinking on things that are true. How do we define that? Things that are reliable. Things that are in agreement with fact. Things that would be opposite of lies and opposite of deception. Well, that would then, if we give that as a definition, then it would stand to reason then that we as God's people should not be dwelling on gossip. Because it could be that things that are given to us in the form of gossip might not be true. If we're going to think on things that are true, let's not dwell on things that are gossip passed on to us. that could not, that might be something that's not true. So let's not dwell on that. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, again, another book that Paul wrote, he gives a list of pieces of armor that Christians should be wearing. We're to put these on daily. Now, they're not, we understand, they're not literal pieces of armor that we put on, but invisible armor that we're putting on every day. And one of those pieces of armor that is what a soldier would wear to hold all of the other pieces in place would be his girdle that he would wear, his belt. What does the Bible say that belt is to be? It's to be the belt of truth. Our loins girt about with truth, the Bible says. Let's make sure as God's people we are thinking on things that are true. Let's think about truth. Now what could we think on that would be truth? Well, think about Christ. He is truth, right? The Bible says in John 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Be thinking about Christ. He is truth. Be thinking on His Word. His Word is truth. The Bible says in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. God's Word is truth. Let's be thinking about Christ. He is truth. Let's be thinking about His Word. His Word is truth. But then look back at the list. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Now, when we think about honesty, even really in our dealings, we would think about practicing honesty to say that whatever I've earned or whatever I've received, I've been honest about it, and I have received it or earned it by fair methods. I haven't cheated. I haven't been dishonest in my actions. Well, God says that's the same way we apply our thought life or our mind or our thinking. Let's make sure that we are thinking in terms of honesty. Thinking in terms of honesty. The integrity of always responding in honesty, even in little ways. Do you have enough character to make sure that you always respond in honesty? He's saying thinking on things that are true, thinking on things that are honest. And then notice the next part of the verse. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. That would be things that are right. Things that are right. We should never plan in our thoughts to do things that are wrong. Our mind should not be on that which is wrong. Our mind should be on that which is just, that which is right. Then look at the next part. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. By the way, are you noticing a biography of Jesus Christ? He is true. He is honest. He is just. But then notice the next part. Whatsoever things are pure. Pure. Consider that word pure. Free from anything that is tainted. Anything that is impure. Our thoughts are to be on that which is pure. Purity when it comes to physical purity. Physical purity. Matter of fact, we just read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 17 down to verse number 21, we read about the works of the flesh, didn't we? And in there, we told you were a list of sins that could be physical sins or sexual sins that our mind could give into or our mind could lust after. So we're to be pure physically. Purity in our relationships. Purity when it comes to our body and the things that we allow our body to do. I think you would agree with me tonight that we are living in a world that is saturated with things that are impure. I think we could all agree on that tonight. We are living in a world that is saturated with things that are impure. And so impure thoughts then could come from many sources. It could come from what we allow ourselves to look at even on our phone, right? What we allow ourselves to look at when it comes to the television or the internet, which is put into our houses, maybe through our computers. So we could be impure in that way with what we allow ourselves to look at. We could have impure thoughts just simply because of the immodesty of others that are around us. Again, we live in a world in which much that goes on around us is impure. And there are going to be people around us that are dressed, maybe perhaps we'd use the word clothed, in an immodest way. And so impure thoughts can take place even with that. Can I say this? That is why it is so important to make sure we keep ourselves modest. The Bible talks about being clothed in modest apparel. What is the reason for that? So that we ourselves are not causing lustful thoughts. We ourselves are not putting somebody in a place where they're lusting because of something that we have done in a wrong way, in an inappropriate way. So there are so many different things that go on around us that can be sources of evil thoughts. Consider perhaps even conversations that can take place. I remember way back even as a teenager, working at a grocery store and sitting in the break room and hearing so many inappropriate conversations that went on with those that were a part of the world. And the conversations that went on, some of you might say even today, you say that's part of the break room today or part of the place where you work today. And you just got to be so careful to make sure that what is going on around us in the world does not cause our thoughts to become impure. He says we'll be thinking on things that are pure. But then notice, not only to keep ourselves or keep our minds pure physically, but to keep our minds pure spiritually as well. And by the way, could we not go back to what we've already said? How do we keep our minds pure spiritually? Be thinking on Christ. Be thinking on His Word. To make sure that that is what our mind is on. But then notice the next word that he uses. Whatsoever things are pure. Then notice he says, whatsoever things are lovely. The word lovely in that verse has the idea of things that are pleasing. When we are thinking on things that are pleasing, then our actions and our attitudes and our responses will be pleasing. They'll be gentle. They'll be gracious. And so let's think on things that are lovely, things that are pleasing. Can I say this? Our minds ought to be on things that are pleasing to God, right? If we're thinking of things that are lovely, and the word lovely, and we gave the idea of pleasing, it ought to be things that are pleasing to God, appropriate to God. Then look at the next word. He says, whatsoever things are of good report, of good report. We would use the word acceptable, things that are acceptable. Things that are of good report. Things that would cause honor to the name of Christ. Now we already mentioned to stay clear of gossip. That this would be good. A good report would be opposite of gossip, wouldn't it? It would be opposite of slander. It would be opposite of evil speaking. So he's saying, let's make sure that our thoughts are on things that are of a good report. And then notice what he says at the end of the verse. He says this, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, notice the word, think on these things. That word think at the end of the verse has the idea of dwelling upon it. Focus attention on it. So let's be thinking on things that are true, and things that are honest, things that are just, things that are lovely. Things that are of a good report. So number one, we said the condition of the mind. The mind can either tend to go towards evil, or the mind can go to things that are right. But let's finish the message this evening by talking about the control of the mind. We talked about how that our mind can go towards that which is right or that which is wrong. But let's talk about how we can control the mind. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to look down to a verse that's given to us here through Paul again in Romans chapter 7. And look down, if you would, at verse number 23. We'll come to that verse here in just a moment. Now, the control of the mind. We talked about the condition of it. And now the control of the mind. Now, the mind can be easily covered up, can it? It is possible for us, because no one is able to see what we are thinking on, to see what our thought life is like, to see what is in our mind. It is possible for us to then cover up what is in the mind. And it's fairly easy to do that. Nobody can see it, right? And so it's possible then, because we can cover up what's in the mind, it's possible then to say it would be difficult to capture it for Christ. We want to capture our mind for Christ and for good, don't we? And so in order to do that, we've got to get our mind under the control of Jesus Christ, to get to a point where we're thinking on things that are pleasing to Him. But because we can cover up what's in the mind, we can say to ourselves, we can get ourselves to a place where we say, well, I'm the only one that's going to know what I'm thinking on. Oh, only God and I. We're the only ones that's going to know what I'm thinking on, so it's easy to cover it up, and others may not be able to even detect what we are thinking on just by looking at us or seeing us. They may not be able to detect what we are thinking on. But the truth that we must remember is that God knows our thoughts, doesn't He? God knows what we are thinking on. And because God knows what we're thinking on, He's concerned about it, isn't He? He wants it to be under His control. He wants us to be thinking on things that are right and godly and pure, as we just read in that list from Philippians chapter number 4. And so eventually our thoughts do come out into the open. So let's let God control our thoughts. Let's get them under the control and the obedience of Christ. Look at what Romans chapter 7 says in verse number 23. It says this. He says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members," Paul said. Paul begins to explain to us the battle when it comes to the control of his mind. His mind is bombarded with evil, and we would say the same thing today because of the flesh, because of the old man, that old nature we have, and of course the sin that is around us. Our mind is constantly bombarded with evil, but the Spirit of God gives an appeal to Paul. And he seeks to bring Paul's mind under God's authority. And that's exactly what he's doing for us today, isn't he? Yes, our mind is bombarded by sin that is around us. But God is saying, hey, I've got the Spirit of God that lives within you as a child of God. And I'm making an appeal to you that you would get your mind under God's control. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 26, I want to encourage you with this verse, and it might be a familiar verse to you, but Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." What is the prophet Isaiah saying to us? That our mind ought to be stayed on Jesus Christ. It ought to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God and on Jesus Christ and what He would be pleased with. So, how can we defeat evil thoughts tonight? How can we get to a place where we say, I have it under God's control, I'm defeating it? Let me give you three thoughts and we'll close tonight as far as the control of our mind. Number one, to run from it. To run from it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read a verse to you this evening, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 9, how do we get our thoughts under the control of the Lord? Run from it. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19 says this, "Nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ," what does it say? "Depart from iniquity." Run from it. Flee from it. Depart from iniquity. I think the greatest illustration we have in our Bible is the story of Joseph, isn't it? Joseph, who was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he ran and he got away when the temptation came. How can I do this great wickedness, Joseph said, right? And sin against the Lord. Run from it. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Let's learn as God's people, let's learn as Christians to run from situations that stir up wrong thinking. Let's get ourselves away from situations that stir up wrong thinking and provide for us an occasion to sin. That means if it's in the list of things that we talked about tonight where you say, I'm struggling with that when it comes to my mind or my thought life, find a way to run from those situations that stir up the possibility of lustful thoughts that might come up and cause an occasion for us to sin. So number one, how do we defeat it? How do we get it under the control of the Lord? Number one, run from it. Number two, occupy the mind with wholesome things. Number two, occupy the mind with wholesome things. Now, let's not be foolish enough to think that just because God doesn't want us to think on evil things, then that means he just doesn't want us to be thinking about anything. No, he wants us to be thinking about things that are good, right? He wants us to be thinking about things that are wholesome. So if we're going to run from causing our mind to stray towards things that we shouldn't be thinking on, then let's learn to occupy or fill our mind with wholesome things. You say, well, where do I find that? In the list that we just read, right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 18, or verse number 8. Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, dwell on these things. Make sure you're occupying your mind with things that are right. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we are to give no place to the devil, right? He's not to have a foothold in our life. He's not to have some type of a stronghold in our life. Let's not even give him a toehold, right? Let's not give any place at all to the devil. And that's exactly what the devil will do with our mind. He will look for a vacancy in our mind, and he's seeking to enter. And he seeks to enter because he does want a place. But the Bible very clearly says, give no place to the devil. So when evil thoughts arise, let's occupy our mind with things that are wholesome. You say, well, how do I go about doing that? Pause just for a moment and start praying and talking to the Lord. Oh, what a way to occupy our mind with things that are wholesome. You say, I'm about my mind's about to stray to something that it shouldn't be stirred up by or an occasion to cause me to sin because of my mind. Pause and start praying. Meditate on the Word of God. Find yourself Bible verses that you can go to. And fill up your mind with things that are wholesome. Fill up your mind with things that are good. I've said this so often, and it is so encouraging and so true. And if you apply it to your life, you'll see how encouraging and wholesome and true and good this can be for you. Fill your mind with good, godly music. Man, you occupy your mind and you fill your mind with music that's meditating and filling your thoughts with things that are good and godly and wholesome. It'll cause our mind to be occupied with that which is right and stray away from that which is ungodly or that which Satan wants to have a place when it comes to our minds. And then the last thought this evening, we talked about running from it and occupying our mind with things that are wholesome. But then also the great thought, the thought we've got to put into application tonight is to get our mind under the control of Christ. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians. It'll be the last verse we look at tonight. Would you take a moment to look there with me if you would? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll finish with this tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look with me if you would at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4. We want to get our thoughts under the control of Christ. Notice it says 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. All the weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are mighty. Are mighty, why? Because we have a God who's there to be our helper, right? And then notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now notice the end of verse number 5. What? How important this is. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's what God's Word simply saying to us. Let's get all of our thought life, all that's on our mind, let's get it under God's control. Let's live in obedience to Christ when it comes to our thought life, when it comes to what is on our mind. Let's get it under the control of Christ. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep has the idea of guarding. Let's make sure we're guarding our heart. We guard our heart for a reason, and we're very diligent about it. We're very careful to guard our heart. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. What comes from the heart is what ends up happening in our life. So I like to say it this way, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, or out of our heart comes the happenings of life. What happens in our actions and our attitudes and our words are a direct result of how we have protected our hearts. Let's protect our hearts. Let's protect our minds. Let's get it under the control of Christ. Let's make sure we are living in obedience to Christ when it comes to our thought life and our mind and what is in it. Now I'll finish with this. We may not get to a place in our life as a Christian where we will ever be able to say that Satan's never going to put an evil thought in my mind again. But can I say this? We don't need to dwell there. And we don't need to continue to think on those things that perhaps Satan sends into our mind that are wrong. Don't dwell there. Don't stay there. Instead, let's run from it. Let's occupy our mind with things that are wholesome, and let's get our minds and our thought life under the control of the God who loves us. Father, I pray that you would help us this evening with this thought about our minds.